strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 21st. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here with Asia. How you doing, Asia?
Hey, Taryn. I'm doing well. Today, I do have my baby with me in the shot, so she'll be in and out. So if you guys hear any weird noises, it's not me. It is an eight-month-old Malshi Poo doing her thing, so just to prep you.
Yes, always happy to be joined by a puppy. So that's what we're doing today.
And I do have on my Canada shirt because I will say I'm just so happy that Canada has been giving us a season that we can be entertained on all levels. Good gameplay, bad gameplay, drama, romance, if people are into that. So, you know, everything and above. So I just want to show that, you know, I'm proud of Canada. So I have on Canada shirt.
There you go. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 22 in the house. And there was a lot of just kind of like talking and moving around and nothing really that changed at all at the end of the day. But we did get a veto competition, so that was fun. Let's talk about it. To start the day, we got a whole new room. That extra room, the secret room, the expansion off of the Expedia room opened up. I don't know why it opened now, why they like to wait to open this room when there's fewer people in the house. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it's open.
It's like the house wasn't totally ready when the season started. And they're just like, okay, we'll start the season. And then, you know, we'll just open these rooms up because they're going to suspect it's a power anyway, but it'll be fun. But it'll seem like it's part of the show, but we just weren't quite ready yet. Cause it's like, what's the point? If you're not introducing some type of power, some type of new twist, I know it's like, you know, the sponsorships with Expedia, but come on. Obviously it's causing paranoia with them and making people think they have a chance because they think something's in there. So you spend more time looking at that stuff than talking to each other, trying to figure out a way out. So I don't know. I'm confused by it too.
Yeah. And it also, like, these sponsored rooms completely clash with the concept for the house, where it's like they took the superhero theme from the previous year. They slapped some vines over the main portion of the house, left the HOH room the same, and then added these bright, shiny, bright colored, like OLG room with the games and stuff. And then the Expedia room, which is also like clean and immaculate. And it's just like, what is happening here? Like, what is this clash of worlds? Plus the ball pit, which is like, it's like they have two different, it's like they have three different themes going on. The superhero theme, slapping some vines over the superhero theme, and a like arcadey game theme.
And it's so weird because this was a huge missed opportunity, because if the sponsors were on the same page as Big Brother Canada, Expedia advertised going somewhere with a jungle, somewhere with some with the theme of the house. And then with the OLG room, this would be an opportunity to present some type of game that, you know, is Big Brother themed and maybe has that theme that's throughout the house and has that designed on like the bingo card or whatever kind of lottery ticket. Like there was a way to work this, but they didn't. And they decided to make it look like they're in different houses every time we look at the feeds.
Yeah, at this point, I feel like the veto should be like made of bright yellow Legos. I feel like that would be more theme appropriate at this point than the vines.
Exactly. It's yeah. No, I don't get it, but maybe it's not for us to get. So
sweet. It's not for us to comprehend as mere mortals.
Right. It's above us.
So there's going to be a lot of talk between Jed, Ty, and Beth about what they want to do with this veto competition. Jed and Ty are going to talk with Ro. They tell Ro that they would like to help Kyle and Ro survive the week. They would like to help them get the veto used on them in some way. Ro asks them if they feel like they might go on the block if the veto is used. And they say, no, we're good. Kiefer wouldn't put us up. And he's like, oh, well, that's great then. You don't need to worry. And they kind of go, well, yeah, well, but I don't think we could use the veto on you. That would look too sketchy. Pretty Boys 2.0 kind of stuff. Right. So, but we would definitely be willing to throw the veto to you and then you can use the veto on yourself. And because we know that Kiefer won't put us up, we feel comfortable with that. Ro is like, cool.
It's crazy that Ro and Kyle don't give this a second thought that, like, why are they so comfortable? Why do they feel so comfortable that they could throw the veto to us knowing that, like, 100% they won't go up? Like, why are they not questioning this is what I don't understand.
I mean, I guess they have bigger things to worry about right now. But yes, I mean, this whole house is a case of, when one side is in power, they're doing dumb things, and the other side is even dumber. And that was true last week, and it's true this week as well. And we're just going to have to wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah, at this point, I'm just seeing who can out... It's not even outsmart the other side. It's like... I can't even, there has to be a new word for it, just to outdumb the other side, because it just does not make sense. And the fact that, you know, like I feel at this point now, like comparing Jed and Ty's gameplay, I feel like Jed is the more strategic one when we see him doing things like, you know, organizing the days and trying to study because he knows long game, he needs to know this stuff. But I'm like, Jed, why would you feel comfortable saying that? Like, why aren't you thinking, oh, if I say this, they'll think this? He's not, that's just like not top of mind. He's just like, oh, no, we're good. We're good. It's funny that he can do that. But I don't even think he's aware that, you know.
Yeah, Jed also, by the way, using egg cartons and instead of mustard, he's using little snacks to keep track of the day, which I think is actually a little bit more clever, although I don't know how well the snacks will fare. I don't think they'll be, unfortunately, very edible by the end of the season, which is a downside, I think, to using this strategy.
Definitely a downside, because that's such a huge waste of food. But I am proud of him for when he was questioned about taking the snacks. He didn't just say, oh, yeah, come look at what I'm putting together to help you out. He was very smooth, but I was like, oh, no, I was just moving them.
So Jed and Ty are also going to, despite saying that they're 100% sure that they're going to be safe from a renom, they're also going to claim that they had no idea who was going to go on the block. They did not know that Kyle and Ro were going to be nominated, despite the fact that Kyle and Ro themselves knew that they were going to be nominated.
Right. It's like this whole week, they knew, or they suspected, and we knew what was going to happen. What was it, like Friday night? Because we knew, okay, Ro and Kyle are going on the block, and we knew if one of them goes down, Austin's going up. Like, literally everyone knew that. Everyone came to their own conclusion and was like, oh yeah, Austin's probably going to be the one that goes up. And so for Jed and Ty to try to play this, I'm like, are they truly trying to align with Kyle and Ro if they stay? Or are they just trying to play the field right now?
Yeah. I think everyone's trying to play the fields. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that they are so attached to Kyle and Ro and the idea of not going after each other. Like, there's something in their minds that is like, big guys going after each other is bad. We will all lose. And they're just trying so hard to prevent it from happening. But they are, we'll talk more about this when we get there, but they are not thinking this through whatsoever. Ty is going to talk with Kiefer, and Kiefer lets Ty know that he really feels like Kyle needs to go. Kyle and Ro have told Kiefer before that they're the only people willing to take a shot at Ty and Jed. He needs to get that into his head that they want to take a shot at you. But it's still not breaking through. They talk about replacement nominee options, and Kiefer says that in his mind, the only options were Austin and Vic, but he kind of decided he did not want to do Vic. He doesn't trust her, but he would not want to put her on the block this week. And so that leaves Austin. Ty would kind of like it to be Vic, though, because he doesn't like Vic, and it would be great if they could stay on good terms with Austin and Brayden, because that's a duo.
Right. And I think that, like, if Kiefer is really doing this in LaToya's honor, like, I'm putting up Kyle and Ro in LaToya's honor, then he would also be trying to do that with the replacement nom, which, even though she said, you know, when she got out of the house, Austin's playing the best game, I still think she would have prioritized getting Vic out, because Vic is also a comp threat. And so it's like, okay, keep an eye on Austin, but let's get Victoria out. And so it's weird that he's trying to use that logic, but then also trying to use the logic that, okay, Kyle and Ro are, they're the only ones that will take a shot at Ty and Jed. Although Ty and Jed and Beth are the only ones who voted you out last week and did not care one minute that you were going to be the one gone. So I think it's hilarious that he's just fallen back with them, even though they were the only three to vote him out.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that he like Kiefer does need, you know, Kyle or Ro to go, especially at this point. But like, you'd think, again, it's weird, but like, this house is often weird. But like, Vic would be the much better pawn, because she doesn't have anybody else. Mm-hmm. And you put Vic up, it doesn't piss anybody off, and you could still send Kyle home or whoever. But in this house, they would all vote Vic out.
Yeah.
Because just, they don't like her that much that they would vote Vic out instead of somebody in a pair. Yes, like, that's just how, like, this house is working.
It's ridiculous. Just like voting out Josh. It's like, why would you do that when you had Ro right there on a silver platter? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, just because he annoys you a little bit.
Yeah.
Weird.
A blog star on the show said they did care. Ty cried about Kiefer. I've actually seen this a lot. When people are talking about, like, how much do Ty and Jed care about Kiefer, and they reference that when Kiefer was crying, Ty cried with him, which Ty has also referred to in the past. I cried with that guy. How dare he not do what I want him to do? That's what I think we mean when we say that they don't care. It's that they don't seem to respect Kiefer's opinions or what he wants. Kiefer consistently tells them that he wants one thing. And not only that, but Kiefer has a considerably better read on the house than both Ty and Jed. And they refuse to listen to him or even consider what he's saying. They barely even say, like, do you think Kiefer might have a point? They just assume that they're better than him at reading the house and that they have a better idea of what they should be doing. I think they like Kiefer. I just don't think they respect him as a player, and they don't respect his opinions enough to consider them over their own.
Exactly. Like, the it's purely a lack of respect. It's like when they see Kiefer, it's like they'll put their arm. This is how I envision their interactions. They put their arm around his neck and then put their knuckles in his head, like, oh, hey, Kiefer, you think you're HOH, but I'm the one that's going to decide what's happening this week. I don't care what you want. It's sad, but, you know, I understand the reason why Kiefer wants to continue to keep them them on his good side. But like going back to the point of putting up Austin, why make an enemy out of Brayden? Like Victoria is the best pawn situation for the next few weeks. Yeah, she may be, you know, flip flopping all around every upside, left, right sides of the house, but you're not upsetting anybody by keeping her in. So it doesn't make sense to me why you would want to make an enemy out of Brayden, especially when they don't know, has he been throwing these comps? Is he somebody that could be a competitor? Like right now he's just easygoing and that's working for him, but why make an enemy out of somebody you don't know fully what their gameplay is?
Exactly. So it's absolutely best for Kiefer's game that he doesn't have to nominate anybody else. And another example of Ty and Jed not caring at all is that they again are talking about throwing this veto so that one of Kyle or Ro wins the veto and Kiefer is forced to put somebody else up on the block. This would never happen between Ty, Jed, or Beth. They would never go behind each other's backs to throw a veto, forcing the other one to put somebody on they're on a different level there.
Yes.
Jed and Beth talk more about like, let's try and make a deal with Kyle and Roe with the veto. Beth also mentions that she wants to try and get in with Austin and Brayden again. She keeps trying and she still can tell that Austin just is not having it with her. So she just has to redouble her efforts because it's so dumb that they can't make something work in a house like this. And that Austin would hold a grudge against her. She's in power right now to some degree. Why won't Austin just drop it?
Austin just can't fake the funk. She's just like, I don't enjoy being around her anymore. So she doesn't want to have to fake it. And at this point, you know, I know the oddballs are, I mean, we keep making reference to the oddballs and sunsetters, but in my opinion, those don't exist. Everyone is fine going after everybody, like everybody else's pair. So it's like, does Austin need to get along with Beth at this point? You know, I mean, if
it would be useful.
True, but it's like, okay, I'm probably going to eat my words, you know, at some point if Beth is in power, Ty and Jed is in power, and then Austin ends up really going home. Who knows what's going to happen this week? But, you know, I guess Beth just burned her too bad the first week and she can't get over it.
Beth barely even did anything to her.
Austin's young. She's young and like, any little thing is probably huge to her. You know, she didn't open up to that many people in the house. She wasn't just close to anybody. And she thought, oh, Beth is my number one. And to find out like, oh, Beth seems close to the other people. Mm-hmm. She's like, wow, you just stabbed me in the back.
All right. Well, we're going to get the veto draw and terrible veto draw for Kiefer. Amazing veto draw for Kyle and Ro because Jed, Beth, and Austin are all chosen to play in the veto. And Jed, like right away, is telling Kyle and Ro, I'm throwing it to you. Throwing it to you.
Yeah.
He's later going to talk with Beth about how they both are going to be throwing the veto to Kyle and Ro. Austin is going to talk to Kyle and tell him that she will use the veto on him. She wins. And she'll just say that she has a crush on him. And that's the reason why she used it.
It's the power of Kyle that we don't understand, of that allure that he has in the house. Austin is just kind of like, I want to keep him around. It's good eye candy,
he's
I guess.
Got the pheromones.
Right.
They're hoping that if Austin uses the veto on Kyle, that's like Vic or Tina or Tara will go up and then they'll be okay. We'll see where that goes.
Where are they getting off thinking that Kiefer would ever consider Tina or Tara?
I think from this conversation, it's more like Kyle being like, hey, Austin, yeah, definitely it won't be Brayden. It'll be Vic or Zina or Tara.
Right.
Obviously, Kiefer would, if Austin won it and said she wanted to use it on Kyle, Kiefer would just say, no, I'll put Brayden up. And then she'd be like, oh, damn.
Right. And it's so funny that's like, It's such an easy move. Like, they literally could do that for the rest of the game. Anybody's pair wins, I'm putting your pair up. Or if you use the veto, I'm just going to put your pair up if they're not already up. And so I'm like, have we seen this in any, like, Canada or U.S. season in the past where it could just consistently be used long-term, like, at least until jury? I'm like, I can't think of a house that was, like, this paired up to a point where you could use that leverage every single HOH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Ty is going to talk to Keith. He's going to be like, well, look, if Jed or Beth win it, you know, like, would it be worth? I mean, I think they'd want to use it. And Keith's like, what do you mean? What is your guys' malfunction here? Like, why? Or at least that's what I imagine he's feeling. And he's just kind of like, I don't understand.
And that still doesn't show him that they have no respect for his game or his lifeline in the game or him being there. They like him as a person. They'll hang out with him after. But him being there and being able to, them being able to use him in the game, they don't care. And that still didn't show him.
Mm-hmm. Kiefer's going to talk with Braden and Austin, and Kiefer's just going to continue to kind of play the field here, talking about how, you know, what Kiefer has told Ty and Jed that he's going to do. And prior to this moment, I thought maybe he was just playing them. But I think Kiefer's main alliance really is the Sunsetters still. I think that he is most loyal to Ty, Jed, and Beth. And really Ty, Jed, which means the pre-90s is a secondary thing. And what he's told Ty and Jed is that he wants to pin the floaters against each other, essentially. And so he's going to tell Austin and Braden that, hey, Tina and Tara tried to make like an alliance with me and Kyle and Ro. So, you know, like he's essentially trying to get them to vie for each other's spots and sort of realize that they're not all working together.
Yeah, I don't see, like, I understand his loyalty to the Sunsetters. He's a very loyal guy with which he's been preaching. But it's like, it's just you, Ty, and Jed at this point with Beth as like a tag along. So come up with a new name. Because when I think Sunsetters, I'm thinking week one Sunsetters with Toya. Tina at the forefront. Yeah, Tina, Toya, the heads of it. So I'm like, just retire Sunset, the Sunsetters name, and then move on with a new name.
Mm-hmm. It's really like, with Kiefer still playing like the best HOH we've seen so far, still just like playing for somebody else who's also tanking their own game. And it's just like, who will rise to the top here? Nobody. You know, it's like looking at the stock watch ratings this week, I'm like, I gave nobody a 7 last week, and I definitely don't feel like anybody is a 7 this week. I feel like there's just no, like, 6 is the cap here, and that's generous.
And it's like, at this point, I don't know what someone could do to really, truly earn above a 6, because it's just like, I don't know. They are just playing such hypotheticals that I can't even judge what's in their best interest, because people are lying so much. And we definitely don't get sufficient diary rooms to understand what people are truly thinking. I think the only one we know who what they're truly thinking at this point is like Victoria, because she talks to the cameras. But
Victoria's like, thinking that she's Dan Gheesling right now.
Exactly. I was like, have we ever seen, do you see like Danielle Reyes, Vanessa Russo, Dan Gheesling, Derek in a room? I am so good at this game. I am playing Big Brother. I was like,
take
girl,
notes, everyone.
Take notes. This is how you play the middle.
Oh boy. No. So let's see here. Braden and Austin, fresh off their conversation with Kiefer, realize, hey, do you think we should be playing the game? Maybe we should talk to Beth. Maybe we should talk to Ty and Jed again. Maybe it would be worth getting in with them. And so they do that. They go and they talk to Beth, and then they're going to talk to Jed a little bit, and they're just starting to rebuild relationships. I'm like, wow, there you go.
But I still don't think Austin and Beth meshing is going to work out in the long term. It's going to be like, okay, we're going to work together at a convenience, maybe, but like nothing stopping Austin from winning HOH and putting up Beth is just like, oh, well, I'm just going to put you up as a pawn. I think her disliking Beth is so immature that I could see her doing something that's immature in terms of like not being loyal to some whatever alliance they try to form or some allegiance to each other and loyalty. I could see her betraying that for some like crazy reason. But I'm glad that Austin and Brayden have kind of woken up. It's kind of like, though, you're taking a nap and then you wake up because you know you should be up, but then you're like, nah, I got another hour. So I don't think that they're fully awake, but at least they know they're in the Big Brother house now.
Yes. Well, we're going to get the veto competition, and Ro is going to win the veto. And they tried it.
To send the Ro show out the dodo.
But they couldn't dodo it.
Yeah, at this point, it's like boy who cries wolf trying to get Ro out. Like, And I think that's worked out for Ro, because pregame, I thought Ro was going to come in and try to be this like head, like kind of be in that early Toya and Tina position that they were in, where he's trying to be the forefront of some alliance. He's trying to be a leader. But now that he's had to play from the bottom, that's what's working for him, because I think it's so easy for people to think like, oh, like, you know, Ro would be a threat if he was a leader. But now that he's playing from the bottom, you know, he's being able to hang on. And I think hopefully after this week, he'll be able to stay in the shadows, especially if Kyle goes. Then it's like, oh, you don't have a pair. So you're not as big of a threat. We'll see.
Yes. So so with Ro winning the veto, Jed and Beth, who I assume just threw this veto to Ro and Kyle, are hoping, do you think we could get, it would be great if we could get Vic as the replacement, right? Like that would be really fun. Obviously still not happening, but they still want Vic up on the block. Obviously Austin is going to be the replacement. That's what, Kiefer has wanted all along, which means this is where I want to really talk about how Ty, Jed and Beth really did not think this through, because their whole thing is that they don't want to be the ones to go after Kyle and Ro. So they are so worried about appearing like they are targeting Kyle and Ro that they couldn't even get through a veto without trying to do something to help them. And so they felt like, well, the best that we can do to show that we're trying to help is to throw the veto to one of them. But here's the problem with letting one of Kyle and Ro win the veto. Now, only one of them is on the block. That means that you're going to have to vote them out over somebody else. And that will show the other one that you are clearly not with them. So when you cast your vote to evict Kyle, Ro is going to be like, wait a minute. I wonder if they're not with me anymore. That's a bad thing to happen. If they're both on the block together, then you can be like, oh, my hands are tied. I'm so sorry. But when Kyle's on the block against Austin and you don't vote out Austin, they're going to be like, oh, so you hate us, don't you?
Passionate Taryn is the best Taryn. It makes no, they did not think of that as an option. The fact that the only way that we could get these guys out, because they're thinking we can't look like we want to get them out, is to vote one of them. Why did that not, as much as Jed thinks, like it, as much as Jed runs the scenarios in his head and talks it through and tries to figure out ways out of the situation, he never thought, oh, it won't look that bad if we're forced to vote one of them out. Like it doesn't make sense. They're just, everyone in this house is actively working against their best interests, which is entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. So they just intentionally put themselves in a terrible spot, and they had the perfect excuse to be don't say you're going to throw the veto. Say, hey, I will use the veto on you, and then win it. And then, oh, what a surprise. Second week in a row, Jed wins the veto. And then Kiefer told me he'd put Ty up. Oh no, now I can't do it again. Oh my, what a shame. And now one of yours is definitely going and there's nothing that we can do. It's you just accidentally did that last week. Just do it again.
Exactly. They were so bamboozled last week. They don't realize let's actually use that to our advantage. Cause that was a solid game move from Victoria. She went about it all the wrong ways, but just on, like, if you write it on paper, it makes sense. So it's like, use that, Jed. But no, he's just thinking, okay, last week was a wash. Latoya's out. Let's forget everything of like how it happened. Let's move forward. And let me try to start from scratch with, you know, the little episodes I've seen.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, so that's what's happening. Kiefer lets Tara and Tina know that obviously Austin will be going up. And that means that he is relying on them. Tara, Tina, Vic, and Brayden are the votes that he says he will need to make sure that Kyle goes out. If he has those four votes, then he can break the tie and send Kyle out the door. I don't know if this is him genuinely concerned that that Ty, Jed, and Beth might not vote Kyle out, or if he's just fronting, but I do think he should be genuinely concerned that they might not vote Kyle out. So it's worth noting.
Exactly. And who's to say, especially this morning, you know, Tina and Tara realizing that they need to be getting in, like they need to have a working relationship with Ty and Jed.
Yes.
That, you know, like, you know, they're, that it's not off of the table.
Have they also decided to start playing the game, Aisha?
But they, you know, they went to bed pretty early last night. So I feel like, you know, this good night, these good nights of rest that they're being forced to get is finally waking them up a little bit. Like, wait a second, we should play. Cause I'm like, duh, Tina and Tara, why was that off of the table for you to have a working relationship with Ty and Jed? Like, okay, Latoya is gone. But you know, and so I know you had to kind of work against that last week, but hey, come on now. And so it's not off of the table that they would vote to keep Kyle, but Kiefer is so, like you said, his secondhand alliance right now are the pre-90s alliance. And he's thinking they're going to do what I want to do, especially with he's been talking a big talk. I was like, Kiefer, bring it down a level. Your HOH duties are over unless it's a tie, but still, like, no.
Yeah, I mean, and the problem with both Austin and Brayden and Tina and Tara trying to work with like Ty, Jed, and Beth is that for Austin and Brayden, it's that Austin can't get over the Beth thing. And for Tina and Tara, it's that Tara can't seem to have a conversation with Ty or Jed without it being super awkward. So like they both have people that are holding them back from making this work.
Yes.
So now the problem here for Kiefer is that Tina and Tara don't seem overly concerned about voting Kyle out either. Tina even tries to suggest, like, I mean, what if Ty or Jed went up on the bottom? I mean, that would be interesting. She also seemed to express some interest in keeping Kyle around this week, which I think personally would be a big mistake because. From my perspective, if you're Tina and Tara, Ty and Jed have wanted to go after Tina and Tara for 2 weeks, ever since Tina bounced from the Sunsetters. The only reason they haven't yet is because they haven't won. Right. And also because Vic pissed them off even more. Right. So right now they're after Vic. And their secondary target is Austin, because Austin is kind of in with Vic, and Austin's somebody that they don't know even more. And they have Kiefer kind of like vouching for Tina and Tara. They're never going to go after Kyle and Ro. It's just never going to happen. Let's give up on that. Right. If Tina and Tara vote to keep Kyle, that means that Austin will be leaving and their secondary target will be gone. On top of that, Kyle will not stay unless Ty, Jed, and Beth all vote to keep him. There's no scenario where he stays on the votes of just Tina, Tara, Braid, or Ro, and whoever, right? Mm-hmm. They need those that block of three because of the tiebreaker, Ty, Jed, and Beth need to vote to keep Kyle if Kyle is to stay, which means they will have just done a massive favor for Kyle and they will not feel the need to go after Kyle and Ro, which means who are they putting up next week if they win? Tina, Tara, Backdoor Vic, right? That was the plan the week before. So mm-hmm. if Austin leaves, it puts Tina and Tara in a bad spot with Ty, Jed, and Beth. You'd think it's the opposite. You'd think keep the bigger target in Kyle, and then Kyle and Ro now need to go after Ty and Jed need to go after Kyle and Ro. But it's actually the opposite, where for some reason Austin is the bigger target to Ty and Jed, and they will not go after Kyle and Ro. And so it's actually a very bad move, in my opinion, for Tina and Tara to keep Kyle in the game. As of right now, it was just talk. I don't think they actually will, but they seem to be inclined to do it. This is they like Kyle more.
Yeah, and I think it's Sunday. There's so much time to get cute, and I think that it's a chance that there's a chance that Tina and Tara could think, okay, if we align with Kyle and Ro, we keep Kyle, and then you have, you know, Jed and Ty trying to, you know, save face with Ro by keeping Kyle, then boom, there we go. And then where's Kiefer left? On the block again next week as a pawn.
Yeah. So Kiefer is also going to let them know that Kyle has been pushing Vic to get Vic on the block a lot. But they already knew this. Yeah. Kiefer is also going to talk with Jed and Beth. And he lets them know that when Kyle was trying to talk to him after the veto, he was saying, like, look, you have my life in your hands. It depends on who you put on the block, whether or not I go. And if you put somebody up on the block that sends me home, that's not going to bode well with Ro, Austin, and Brayden. And so Kiefer was like, oh, so you're working together. I see. And so he lets Jed and Beth know, and Vic joins them, and they tell Vic, they're like, oh, so did you hear that Kyle, Austin, Brayden, and Ro are working together? And she was like, yeah, they're working together. Kyle and Austin are flirting all the time. They're like a thing. And he lets her know that Kyle and Ro have been throwing her under the bus, trying to get her nominated. She's like, oh. How dare right. I thought I was in their alliance.
Right. Oh my gosh. And then it goes back to her. She's like, this has happened my entire life. And so she gets so lit, so passionate. And she's like, we can do this, guys. Like, we can make this happen. She oversells how upset she is that they would throw up her name, even though it's such an easy thing to say when it's just like, oh, if my life is in danger, hey, Kiefer, why don't you just put up the person who put you up? Mm-hmm. She tried to get you out.
So, yeah. So then this is when she talks to Ty and Jed, and she's essentially just like, hey, guys, I want to work with you. I'm going to be loyal to you. It's going to be great. We're going to be working together. And I think the subtext here is now that Toya's gone, yeah. that, we can work together. And then they leave. And this is when she's like, boom, that's how you take notes, everyone. That's how you play Big Brother. That's how you play the middle. Best to ever play the game. And it's just like, Vic, if they had their way, you would be on the block and going home this week still. In fact, if anyone in this house, literally anyone in this house other than Kiefer had their way, you would be on the block going home this week.
Exactly.
That's not a great middle play, actually.
It's just like, it's validating her mastermind edit she has in her head. And so it's just so funny. It's just comedic at this point. And I am so afraid to see when she is in a position where she is on the block, because she's going to be so confused. How did this happen? How did they get out? How did they put up the biggest game player in this house? And then and then when she stays because she's a pawn, oh, that's going to be all on her. She's going to think she worked that house. They were so stupid to keep me in. Oh, it's going to be gold. I can't wait.
Oh, man. It is very, very amusing. So that, I mean, that's basically what's going on here. With Roe winning the veto, Austin should be going up on the block. That conversation has not happened yet, but I assume it will probably sometime today. I don't think she'll be super pleased, especially considering she made a deal with Kiefer. But it seems like that's what's going to happen. Now, as I said, there is a chance. This vote is not necessarily guaranteed. As long as Kiefer wants Kyle out, Kyle should go out because, again, Kyle can't stay without the votes of Beth, Ty, and Jed. And even though Beth, Ty, and Jed are willing to go behind Kiefer's back to do things that go against him, I don't know that they would be willing to openly vote against his wishes this week and vote to keep Kyle when Kiefer is actively working to get Kyle out. However, I think how this could work is if all three of them really push hard and say, Keef, we're making a deal with Kyle. We need you to be on board. This is the move. It's possible that they could convince Keef to back down. And if Keef changes his mind and allows them to vote to keep Kyle, Kyle will stay because, again, all they would need is Roe, Ty, Jed, Beth, and Keefe's tiebreaker, and Kyle would stay no matter what. I would be inclined to think that they wouldn't even need Keefe's tiebreaker, that it would probably be a much bigger vote to keep Kyle if that happened. But it really all comes down to Keefe, in my mind. Will Keefe be swayed into allowing Kyle to stay, or will he stick to his guns and tell his alliance, you have to vote Kyle out? And then if they do vote Kyle out, he will have the votes. As long as he has Ty, Jed, and Beth, then Brayden, Ty, Jed, and Beth all vote to evict Kyle. He has the tiebreaker to get rid of Kyle. So it really all just comes down to what the Sunsetters decide.
But if Jed and Ty decide they want to keep Kyle and they're able to bring in Tina and Tara, if they work them over the next couple of days, I could see them very well saying, oh, we don't need Keith. We don't need to try to persuade him. Like, we can do this vote. We'll just make up with him after they have showed time and time again, like we said, like they don't respect his game. And so what they're going to do is think we don't need him. What's the point in telling him? We could tell him after. And Kiefer is going to be, like he said, crying like Kim K. So
you're probably right. You know, I have to keep remembering to lower my expectations. And so, I guess it is possible that they make the move without Keefe's blessing. I think it's unlikely that they, I think that they would talk to Kiefer still. I think that they would be like, hey, Tina, Tara, us three, let's all as a five go in and talk to Kiefer and tell him this is what we want to do. But it's definitely, I can't overestimate. All right. Well, so that's what it's looking like here today with the votes. Do we need to talk about thruples?
I knew that's what you're getting at. I just have one little comment. So yes, let's get into the thruples. Okay, that would be like if like Austin came in on it too and it was like a fort, oh, whatever. Okay, so Beth did say, so, you know, we've seen her. She has spent nights with Jed. She spent nights with Ty. And then you see her make a comment to, who was it? Was it Austin and maybe Brayden, mm-hmm. who she was sitting there talking to? She was like, I can't even quote her. Go look it up. But she is talking about their sizes because she has experience.
The sizes. And you'd think that Jed and Ty, they seem about the same size, right? But she's talking about something else.
Right. Exactly. And at this point, it's like, okay, I think it's do your thing, Beth. You know, you hear Chappelle, he's proud of what Beth is doing. She's doing her thing. She's playing the game, right? Do your thing, Chappelle. Do your thing, Beth. No shame in that game. But the way she's talking about it is getting icky. Like, it's getting, like, fetishizing because it's like, you know, she's made comments like, oh, I've never been with a black guy and now I have two. And then she's like, oh, you would think, you know, based on their sizes, you know, this, but, you know, one is not as big as you would think he is. And then one is massive. And it's like, this is getting so icky. That yeah. It's
yeah. She broke the confines of the thruple.
Yeah.
With thruples, you know, you need to set some boundaries. You need to set some guidelines. I feel like she has broken the trust of the thruple here.
Yes, absolutely. It's like, where is the decency and the confidentiality? Like, you know, just keep that to yourself. And it's almost as if it's not like she's bragging about it, but she's just so amazed. She wants to talk about it. And it's weird. I don't know. It's to the point of being weird.
Yeah, like Ty and Jed, super cool about this. But like, how are they going to feel if they know they're being compared all of a sudden? Right.
Exactly.
Like, that could cause some weirdness. Right.
Exactly.
That's why, you know, these things, they need to be handled right. This is not being handled right.
At all. Just yeah. Like all of their games aren't being handled right. They're carrying that into this thruple and it needs to end. And I don't know how it will end. I think it sucks because it's not like Austin and Brayden enough or close. Austin and Brayden are close enough to Ty and Jed to just for that to casually come out. Like, hey, I heard this. No, but you know, like if Tina heard, she would, you know, she would find a way to say like, you know, you want to be careful about what you tell Beth or what you do with Beth because she's spreading it around the house. That was a terrible Tina impression.
You know but. What? Yeah. Turns out they were right. They just were right about something other than the game.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I want it to end because this is just, it's totally messing with my view of Beth's. I can't even look at Beth's game because I just think about this thruple and how she's so proud of it and how she is bragging about it. And so if the thruple was a done situation, then I can focus on how she's playing the game, how well she's doing. But I can't.
Don't forget that the Sunsetters died so that this thruple could thrive. Like right? They shut that flip down so that they could continue to thruple and not have yes. to pretend to not be with each other.
I know it's, there has to be a point. Well, maybe not. Cause I think I remember a conversation on the feeds with Ty and her of like, oh, this wouldn't continue outside of the house. And so I'm like, there has to be a point where one of like Ty or Jed is like, you're with the other one a little too much or where they feel icky about it, but they haven't reached that point. And we're at day 22. Like they may not reach that point before one of them is evicted. I just want it to end.
Damn. Well, that's going on. Yeah.
That's happening.
What's still going on. I think that's basically what we've got for you. We don't need to go any further than that. Asia, anything else you wanted to bring up?
So the veto where they were the alphabet, or no, not the veto, the bingo game where they were having to do the alphabet backwards. I thought this, so I've been able to do this since like elementary school, so I thought this was like this was like my little hidden talent before I started finding out like other people could do it. And then I guess I'm finding out now it's not as common as I think, but yeah, I taught myself how to like sing it backwards.
Huh.
Here we go. Z Y X W V U T S R Q P O N M L K J I H E F E D C B N A. There we go. Simple as that.
Bingo.
That's all Beth had to do.
Hold on. I've got to hold on.
I didn't know she's dumb or extremely smart.
That was the best one I had for it. All right, well, that's what we have for you today. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'll of course be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. I imagine we'll get Austin informed that she's going up on the block as the replacement. Maybe we'll have the veto ceremony today like we did last week, or maybe it will be tomorrow. I don't know yet, But we'll have stuff there. Tomorrow night, we'll be recapping the Monday night episode of Big Brother Canada 9. And then Tuesday night, the roundtable will update the stock watch prices, the ratings, and we'll recap the week of the feeds. Thursday night, I believe they've changed the schedule. It will now be at 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock, which is super annoying. but be informed that Thursday night at 9 is the episode, 9 Eastern. And you can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I just ran my first perfect game in Fall Guys last night. Nice. And today at 5 p.m. Eastern, we'll be playing some modded Among Us with lots of different roles and ways to trick each other. So that'll be fun as well. Asia, where can people find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. I will be hopping onto Clubhouse at 12:30 Eastern today, right after this, to talk about the feeds, catch up on everything. So if you want to talk about the feeds, come hop on to Clubhouse and, you know, share your opinions, and we'll talk about it and debrief a little bit about what's the current state of the house, to just further expand on this update. So hop on over to Clubhouse around 12:30 Eastern in the RHAP club. Hope you don't have FOMO, Taryn, about this iPhone Clubhouse situation.
It's all so much FOMO.
I'm sure.
Well, it's not FOMO, because it's not fear of missing out. It's knowledge that you're missing out. So it's like COMO. Mm,
yeah. Okay. That's a new one. We need to put that in the,
I don't know why that's not a thing, right? Yeah. If I know I'm missing out, I'm not fearing it, right?
You know you're missing out and you have no feelings about it. So like, yeah, fear couldn't be an option.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. And I will see you next time.